Grace and mercy to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
C.S. Lewis wrote over, while grieving over the death of his wife, Joy, he wrote, "What sort of lover am I to think so much about my own affliction and so little about hers? Even the insane call, 'Come back to me,' is all for my own sake. I never even raised the question whether such a return, if it were possible, would be any good for her. I want her back as an ingredient to the restoration of my past. Could I have wished anything worse upon her? Having once gone through death, to come back again and then later at some point to go through it again, to have her do her dying all over. They call Stephen the first martyr, but had not Lazarus the raw ordeal. It's best when defining love to think of love not as what you get out of it, but what you give. There are many who claim to love Jesus. I remember back in the 90s, in the aftermath of the LA riots, there was a great deal of looting. There was one reporter out there trying to get a report of what was going on as looters were running back and forth. He finally managed to grab one by the collar and stick a microphone in his face and ask him what he was doing and why he was doing it. At the end of the interview, he asked him what he had looted. The man admitted that he had taken gospel tapes because he loved Jesus. I mean, millions of people claim that they love Jesus. They will attest to the fact day and night. And you would think, and that would suggest that they know a great deal about their Lord and Savior, but this is not always the case. Mary and Martha are kind of in that same place. They loved Jesus, a fact that they would attest to day in and day out. But their love for Jesus did not necessarily mean that they comprehended everything about his plan, about his purposes, not only his own purposes and his own life, much less for themselves, and not for their brother, Lazarus. You see, Jesus is the power of life. As we confess in the Creed, by him all things were made, on heaven and on earth. Jesus is life, and believers in Jesus cannot die. There is indeed what we call a physical death. Don't get me wrong, we had two funerals this last week. We know all about it, right? Scripture commonly calls this first death sleep, because it is more like sleep than death. In other places, it's called the first death. We Lutherans like to call it the intermediate state of the soul, because we like using many words. Because the more words you give, the more clearer your confession. It is an intermediate state between, it is a state between two constant lives, right? We have our physical life where our eternal life is hidden Christ. And then later on, after the resurrection of all flesh, that immortal life is there for all of eternity. But there is this intermediate state of the soul between our death and the resurrection of all flesh, where we live in heaven as a spirit with the Lord God Almighty at choir practice for as long as the eye can see. Lazarus has experienced this first death. He had gotten sick, and the sickness resulted at the end of his physical life. Physical death still exists all around us. It is inescapable. Death is the basic human problem. And it belongs to us. It belongs to us because of our sins, because of the wages of sin is death. And as far as I know, we are the only creatures that know that our death is coming. We know very early on that someday we will die. And we're conscious that death stands before us, and it affects us. But it affects not just later, but it affects us now. It affects how we live. Dylan Thomas wrote that a man should fight against death. He wrote, "Rage, rage against the dying of the light. But rage as we will, it will not change the reality of our first death." Death has become a greater reality even in Jesus' life as he preaches this object lesson to the Jews at Bethany. His enemies have already tried to kill him. They've already tried to stone him. Right here in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the disciples are dismayed that he is so quickly going to return to Bethany, where they have actively tried to stone him before. Jesus himself has predicted his crucifixion. The high priest has gone on record, Caiaphas, saying that it is clearly that it's better that one man to die than the whole nation should perish. I love this line from Thomas as they decide to go ahead and go. Thomas just sort of shrugs his shoulders and sighs and goes, "Well, let us go also that we may die with him." Christ's death was necessary. God's anger over sin had to be appeased. And we could not do it, because sin always calls for death. Lazarus passing is a pretty small thing if you think about it in the context of world events. I mean, sure, it saddened his sisters. But we need to notice here that it saddened God as well. You see, Jesus wept at this news. And the reason he does so is because death was never the plan. Death was never what God wanted for us. It was never his desire. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 reminds us that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and by his wounds we have been healed. And that healing includes more than just the forgiveness of sins. It also includes the resurrection to eternal life. Because Jesus is the resurrection. He is not only life, but he is also the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. He has showed this to his disciples. This is the reason Jesus shows himself after the resurrection to the disciples, so that they would know that it's concrete evidence. They have seen him, Jesus, the resurrection and the life, come back from the dead and eat and do the things that normal humans do. He raises Lazarus in this story to give a preview of his resurrection, to show that he has the power to fulfill his word as he says he will. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. 4 days in the tomb for Lazarus was no match for the resurrection and the life. 3 days in the tomb for Jesus, no match for the resurrection and the life. And your death is no match for the resurrection and the life. Therefore, we love Jesus. Of course we love Jesus. Even at times when we may not be able to comprehend Jesus' complete power and complete plan. But I'll take everlasting life at face value. And Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he has given us this great pledge that in the midst of our weakness and our frailty and our powerlessness and our loss of faculties, that we serve a powerful Lord and he affects us still today. And when we do lose one of our number, we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we know the power and resurrection and life. We live in the newness and the realization of that power. We hold to that promise of our earthly resurrection as we depend and look on the resurrection of Jesus himself. We know that life does not end in death. We will rise and forever celebrate the joy of life that we have in Jesus Christ. our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, just as he said he was. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.